Hey, folks, this is Mark of Manager Tools. Recently, Mike and I recorded an executive tools podcast called The Black Widow Mistake. I happened to mention it to a few people in the Manager Tools community. They were immediately very interested. And Mike and Sarah and I quickly realized that, in fact, it had implications for managers as well. And we thought we'd release it to you as a special edition of Manager Tools. And perhaps some of you will realize that you're probably at a point in your career where you ought to start thinking about getting an executive tools license. So here it is, part two, the conclusion of this topic.
Welcome to Executive Tools, the Black Widow Mistake, part two. This cast answers these questions. What is a Black Widow mistake for executives and aspiring executives? Where should I focus my learning as an executive? How can I use AI to facilitate my learning? Well, if you want answers to these questions and more, keep listening. Here we go.
U.S. college football's back. And you know what that means. If you're looking to get your folks trained this year, yes, by mid-December, it's time to start talking to us now. Don't wait until you know if your favorite team will win its conference. Our late summer and fall calendar is always the busiest time of year, and this year is no exception. Whether you want on-site or virtual organizational training, let's lock in your preferred date before it's gone. Contact Maggie by emailing her at customerservice@manager-tools.com to see when we can bring our training to your organization. Customizable, cost and time effective, and we come directly to you on-site.
How do we avoid the Black Widow mistake?
Yeah, it's not difficult. It's not complex. All you have to do is decide to add, I'm assuming here that you guys are interested in learning, okay? And when the student is ready, the teacher appears. You've got to learn to be a student. And if you learn to be a student, this will give you a great deal either. If you're not a learner, then I'm sorry, we can't help you. Go back to your video games. You have to add to your learning how you're going to learn things, what you're thinking about in terms of learning, the future. You've got to add the future and external factors and forces that leadership swims in every day. And I had a friend years ago that told me this, and luckily I found it in an email from like 6 years ago. When you become an exec, you're swimming in different waters. It's the equivalent of having gone from swimming in a pool to swimming in the open ocean. And if you're swimming in a pool, it doesn't matter how good a swimmer you are there, you'll never learn how much harder it is to swim the oceans. And by the way, there are sharks in the ocean, which Sarah will love because she thinks living here in Pebble Beach that you can walk to China on the sharks that are in the Pacific Ocean. Yeah. Okay. So we're going to get out of the pool and we're going to start swimming in the ocean. Ocean has currents. It has salt. It has waves. It has undercurrents. It has dangerous animals. It has shipping. It has all kinds of things. Pools are simple. The ocean is complex. And we're just going to make one recommendation here. This is the start of a series of casts. And actually, I've already written the next one about the interviewing version of the Black Widow mistake. But the first step you can do, something that's completely doable, and you don't even really have to get outside yet. We just want you to learn the method by which you're going to continue to learn. Start by learning how your company as a whole and in its varied divisions and so on, how it makes money. Study your U.S. 10-Ks. And if you don't know what a 10-K, it's a federally required report for all public companies. I know there's some of you in private companies. You should still be able, if you're a private employee, to get an annual report or something, whatever went to the board of directors. Study your company's 10-K, which is a detailed financial analysis of how your company did over the last year. K essentially reminds us that it's annual. And then also 10-Qs. You should be looking at your company's quarterly reports, which again, in most first world countries, there are quarterly reports that are required to be filed legally. You don't have to go to your stockbroker, folks. You could probably just say, hey, Siri or whatever AI bot, take me to the place where I can find XYZ Corp's 10-K from last year. And they will say, would you like to email it to me? Would you like me to email it to you? Or would you like me to include it in your, yeah. And you'll be like, yeah. Okay. So these are all publicly available. And by the way, for your company, you can go to your company's website, to the investor relations webpage, and you can download all these things. Okay. Now look, and I know what some of you are thinking, I won't know how to read it. Okay, that's fine. Don't care. You know how you learn to read something? You read it. By the way, there are books about how to read a 10K and how to read a 10Q. There are websites. Okay, you can go to many websites, get a great tutorial. There are cheap books on Amazon. I think like $5. It's like 25 pages long. It's not terribly complex. You don't need to have a controller or CFO level knowledge of it. You simply need to understand it. And as I like to tell people, and we'll get into the lily pad analogy here soon enough, as I like to tell people, the first time you read it, you won't know anything because you don't have any context. But after you read your third or fourth quarterly one and you start understanding the rhythm of your company, which quarters are better, which quarters are worse, and the vast majority of people who are listening to us right now understand this, even if you don't understand it for your company, because you know there are some times that are a good time to buy an Apple iPhone and sometimes that are not, because there are times when there are upgrades coming and there are times when there are not, and there are times when they sell a lot and there are times when they don't. So you should know the quarterly rhythms of your entire company. And if the second quarter is a weak quarter for your company and you're asking for $1 million for something to be implemented this quarter, you're probably going to get told no, because it's not a good quarter, because the last quarter wasn't very good.
You know, it'd be great if everybody, every executive listening to this had a coach, something or somebody you could talk to that you could just like feed it these 10Ks and 10Qs, ask it a bunch of questions, have it analyze it, tell you what's going on, and like just short circuit the whole process. That would be flipping awesome. Maybe somebody ought to go build something like that.
Folks, do you think Mike needs to go to class on his sense of humor? He's not too subtle about it at all. He just lays it right out there. Yeah, in fact, this is where we get into the whole Kreslov part of this story, which was just so cool. You don't need to read a book. I like reading books, and so I do read them, and I go to websites and pay attention and so on. And by the way, many, many years ago, before I had my own company, I didn't understand Procter & Gamble's financials at all. And by the way, I just want to go back to my context thing real quick. One of the things that we're going to talk about doing is creating charts, because when a company makes $2 billion a quarter, that number is irrelevant to you until you know what they did the last quarter and what they did year over year quarters. And so you're going to need charts to keep track of things. And things will start to make sense as we'll describe with the lily pond analogy. Yeah, you could feed all of your company's 10Ks the last couple of years and their 10Qs into ChatGPT and ask it to analyze your company's performance over the year or over the quarter. You could also feed it your company's public competitors 10Ks or
10Qs. No way.
And ask it to compare performance.
Sure. How awesome is that?
You can have a chart. You can create a chart. You can go to a stock market websites and get it, but you can have ChatGPT create it for you. You can choose the companies and you can see which ones are doing better and which ones are doing worse. You'll have advance notice long before other people in your company have about how your company is doing. And I'm not just talking about layoffs. I'm talking about whether or not you go to your boss and ask for a raise. And the boss says, well, things aren't going so well. And you look at him and go, we've had 3 quarters of increasing earnings when 6 of our other 7 competitors have been going down. How can you possibly say that things aren't going well? Right? You could further ask whatever AI algorithm you choose to analyze your company's performance against what it said it would do this year or quarter. Because usually those forecasts are matter of public records as well.
Yeah. Earnings call transcripts, for example.
Yeah. And now, folks, don't write us and complain that we're talking about using earnings calls to learn more about your company and how it makes money. I know. I'm the one that leads this charge internally at Manager Tools. We don't agree with companies providing earnings guidance, okay? We think that's unnecessary. And all it does is increase the chances that the CEO will massage earnings. No offense, I don't mean to imply any dishonesty. Will massage earnings to meet that number. Although in many big companies, sales take so long, you pretty much know at the start of a quarter what's going to close during the quarter. But we don't agree on announcing earnings. But that doesn't mean people, predicting earnings for the next quarter, forecasting earnings. But that doesn't mean people don't do it. And that doesn't mean you can't use it to compare how your company did versus how it said it would do, okay? You can also ask ChatGPT or any AI algorithm to provide you a list of public statements made by your company. By the way, you can do this without ChatGPT. If you're fundamentally opposed to it, that's great, fine. But you can do this by yourself. There are places you can go, you know, years ago, we had to dig it up manually, or you had to have a friend in investor relations, and then Google came along, and the internet came along, and then Google came along and categorized it all for us, and now we're getting ChatGPT or other AI, whether it's Claude or all the others and so on, and you have all kinds of tools at your disposal, which means if you don't do it, you're literally saying, I won't take a very tiny step, and we want you to understand, we're talking just about your company here, and obviously now we're talking about competitors and so on, but we want you to use this, the Black Widow mistake, to motivate yourself to go out and use ChatGPT and create a system for gathering information about the world that your company swims in, and then we want you to add to it as you think of things that are next to your company and things that are next to them and so on. You might even talk about regulatory filings or governmental discussions. I would assume the defense industry, we're recording this in August of 2025. I assume the defense industry is very interested in what's happening in the Ukraine. And also for that matter in the South China Sea and certainly also in the Middle East. Why wouldn't they be? Of course they would. And so if you're in the defense industry, you would be following those kinds of things, regular actual news about the wars and the diplomatic efforts and the governmental efforts, the governmental communications and so on, and stuff at the UN as well to figure out what does that mean and what do I think is going to happen in the next 30, 60, 90 days? And there we are talking about the future, which is outside your organization.
Patent filings. The list goes on and on and on. Wouldn't you want to know what your competitors are filing patents for?
Yeah. And in fact, we probably ought to create a forum. Mike, recently, you and I have been talking about this, that there are two things, and I'm blanking. I know one of them's tariffs, and the other one is escaping me right now, that we want to try to figure out some way to have people, it may be AI, but I doubt it, talking about things that companies and executives and managers that we know are affected by, how can we facilitate open dialogue with them, whether it's campfire or forums or whatever. I'm not sure an email string is the answer, but that's something you and I need to talk about to make it possible. But anyway, you could ask your algorithm to give you a list of public statements made by your company and industry analysts, whose names in the financial world, whose names are not hard to find, allowing you to follow anything they write about your company and its competitors and the markets in which they compete. You can compare what the analysts say about profit margins. It's okay that you don't know whether your margin of 4.9% or 23.7% is good or bad. The analyst will tell you, okay? All in the service, obviously, of supporting investment. Compare what the analysts say about profit margins, about relative advantage, about international efforts, and so on. And again, we'll talk about why it's okay that you don't understand it yet. Don't worry about that, because it's okay. Right now, you just need to start on your journey and gather sources and hopefully use ChatGPT or, again, whatever algorithm you need. Look, you can also ask executives above you, with whom you have good relationships, obviously, to tell you what they think about the company's performance. And not just about recent performance, but also future performance, right? Depending upon where you are in the organization, you get high enough up, your boss is being asked to give a number for her division that gets added into all the other divisions. That means you're supporting your boss in creating that number. And you can ask, where's the company going? Where are we investing? What divisions are struggling? And by the way, if you're worried about asking that last one, don't be. If they're not comfortable answering what divisions are struggling, they won't. And by the way, if they won't, that's probably an indication that your relationship isn't as strong as you think it is. But on the other hand, if you don't ask, you don't get. One of the themes that has permeated my life this year is, and I probably knew it at some level before, but it didn't really hit me as hard as it has lately. People's inability to ask questions to learn things they don't know because they're fearful that the moment they ask the question, other people will know that they didn't know the answer. The worst example of this is fresh hires, right? Like, hey, you're new. We know you don't know anything. Go ahead and ask questions. And they don't ask any questions. Why? Ego. Well, as the book says, ego is the enemy. So go ahead and ask. Look, we were talking to Kreslov. He said, I didn't know what OEM was. And I'm guessing there's at least one of you who's listening who doesn't know what OEM is. So what it means is original equipment manufacturer. Okay. And he didn't know. And he got output from ChatGPT and it said OEM and he didn't know what it was. So he Googled OEM and he got an answer. Look, we've talked about this for years, but you've got to read the major business press where you are. Certainly in the US, that's the Wall Street Journal. If you're in a major city, the local paper probably covers your company if your company is a major employer there. Virtually every major city in the U.S. has a city name like Jacksonville Business Journal that will give you local insights. They generally cover the business community very well, in my experience. You'll probably have to subscribe, although your company probably subscribes. So it'll give you local insights. And again, depends on how big an employer, but if your company is a big employer in a city that has a business journal, they're going to have a reporter assigned to your company. And that reporter has sources inside your company that they might not answer you, but they'll answer him or her off the record. And then you can read about it in the paper, which sounds weird and sort of roundabout, but it happens all the time. And look, folks, we're only scratching the surface here. There's so much more. We're going to have some future guidance where we talk about things you can do. And actually, Mike, we probably should talk to Kreslov and say we should just publish his spreadsheet for everybody and see how he did it. And I think this is a good point to talk about Kreslov. So, folks, I'm coaching a professional in Poland. He's a software development engineer who is now running an organization, I think, of 600 people. And he reports to the engineering manager for the entire part of Siemens. They do, EDA, electronic something automation. I've forgotten what it was. It was just in my head 30 seconds ago.
EDA.
Yeah. It's like electronic factory. They provide software which automates companies, their clients are companies like NVIDIA, chip manufacturers, and so on.
Electric design automation?
Design, there you go. Design, thank you. And their stuff is already getting AI embedded into it. But I'm coaching Kreslov about his next phase in his career, being more effective internally. That's certainly important, but also about broadening his horizons. And I said to him a couple of weeks ago, hey, look, we need to start exposing you to things that you can learn from. If you don't look, you don't see. So I suggested he use ChatGPT and create a template, something that he could start getting help from the algorithm to go get him information that he had exposed to. And I said, basically what we've said here, I want you to focus on your company. I want you to focus on your competitors. I want you to look at them. I want you to focus on the market, so industry analysts and so on. And I want you to look at financials. And he said the same thing that so many people do. I can't read a balance sheet. I can't read a P&L. I don't know what it means. I don't know what the stock price means. And that's where you get into charts where you don't have to worry about whether 32 is a good number. You have to know whether 32 was a good number when a year ago it was 24. You know, that's good. But if a year ago it was 54 and now it's 32, that's a different story. So part of the problem with learning about new things is you don't have context to put things together, which, of course, the Lily Pond solves for you. And we'll get to that in a minute. Before we get more into Kreslov, I'll mention another conversation I had with a friend of mine. I was playing golf, and he spends some time in Houston, sometimes here. And he's an oil and gas executive. And regardless of your political persuasions, whether you're for or against green energy or for or against oil, petroleum products, the price of oil matters enormously to the world economy. Right now, the world economy is run on petroleum products. This executive told me that he and many other oil and gas execs believe the price of oil will be $50 in a few years and might never recover.
Why is that? What's happening there?
Yeah, there's massive implications for the world. And the reason is because China doesn't have hardly any oil. So they import. They have some in the South China Sea, but it's, you know,
a lot of oil. They import a lot of oil. And they're very aware of it.
They're very aware of it. And therefore, they're all in on electric cars because they don't want their internal economy nor their internal security, their external security, to be dependent upon foreign oil. And they import a lot. And once, according to all the studies, once electric vehicles reach about 45% of market share in China, demand for oil will really fall precipitously. And supply and demand still matters, just like oil still matters. And that makes a difference in your company. It certainly makes a difference if you're in Athabasca in northern Alberta, Canada, where there are tar sands. And if the price of oil goes above $90, as it sometimes does, it becomes economically profitable, feasible and profitable to get the oil out of the tar sands. This is one of the reasons why there is, when people talk about peak oil, they're wrong. There will never be a peak oil because when prices of oil go up, because perception of supply goes down and demand stays the same, not saying we won't change our demand curve in the future thanks to green energy, that's a different story. But on the supply side, if supply appears to be dwindling and the price goes up or demand goes up, and so therefore the price goes up, at some point it becomes profitable to find new reserves of oil that wouldn't be profitable with oil at $50
barrel.
If it takes 60.
Fracking dies.
Yeah, immediately, which is really important to several states in the United States and I assume elsewhere in the world as well. So you should know how the price of oil affects your company. Heck, why wouldn't you ask ChatGPT to give you a chart of the price of oil? It might be North Sea Brent, or it might be West Texas Intermediate, I think it is, which is very light sweet crude, which is, doesn't take as much to be refined. You should know, and you could draw a chart that shows the price of oil and the stock price of your company and see whether or not there's a correlation. Many companies actually have that very thing. Now, before I get into the lily pad story, I want to just share with you what Kreslov does, and we'll figure out a way to make it available if you're an Executive Tools subscriber to get this spreadsheet he created. And basically all he did was he has a series of tabs on the spreadsheet for his company and company comments. And he went to his investor relations thing. Then he used the RSS feed, and he has a page with all the RSS feeds that show all of his customers and also his customers' customers. If you're really smart and you're really thinking outwardly as an executive, you want to know what your customers' customers are doing. Now, if you're a B2C company, that's a different story. But if you're a B2B company, and your business that you sell to, their business is struggling because consumers aren't buying for whatever reason, you would want to know that. And I'm amazed at people who don't get the idea of understanding your customers' customers and so on. So there's a tab for that. And he has a series of prompts. And Kreslov's very smart. So he said, this is what I want to do to ChatGPT. And it asked him, and he says, can you help me? What kind of information do you need from me in order to help for you to help me? How can I help you help me, so to speak? And it immediately sent back in like 30 seconds, hey, here are the 10 things I need to know. Who are your competitors? What industry you're in? Who are your customers? How are they doing? You know, what name the major companies and so on. What's your industry group and so on? So you can, ChatGPT can go find information on the industry group and so on. And within 2 weeks, he had something that probably would have taken me 4 or 5 months to create 40 years ago when I was at Procter & Gamble and trying to figure out how to learn about the company, because I was starting to become exposed to executives and I didn't know how they thought. I had never been to Harvard. I had never gotten an MBA. I had seen balance sheets. I had seen P&Ls, but right, I didn't truly understand.
4 or 5 months versus 2 weeks. Come on.
Yeah, and actually it didn't take 2 weeks. He just used it for 5 minutes every couple of days, and it was probably a total of less than an hour. And now he has, I mean, I was blown away. He has every single company that puts out a press release about anything going on in their industry, he reads it. Companies are good at press releases. Now, you don't have to read every word of the press release, folks. You don't, okay? But you have to read the first few sentences.
Or a summary that was created by ChatGPT.
Yes. Please summarize each of these.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. Look, there's tons of tools out there, right? You get all those sources, you feed it using one of a million tools, and you tell it, like, summarize all those every single day, summarize each one of them and put them in a single email and send it to me. It's at the top of your list. It takes you 5 minutes. You read it. You do that every day, five minutes a day, and you know exactly everything that's going on in your industry.
Yeah. In fact, we ought to offer to people, look, figure out how to digitize whatever your system is and share it with us. And we'll make them available somewhere to Executive Tools subscribers.
Yeah.
And you can pick and choose.
Yeah, it'd be awesome.
You can absolutely
send them in, folks.
Yeah. We'd love to
see them. Help you and others.
Yes.
Are you building the network that will make you a stronger leader? At the M Conference, October 8th and 9th, executives from diverse industries come together to share what they've learned and how they lead. You'll leave with powerful tools and lasting connections that will help you lead better. Look up all of our speakers and topics at manager-tools.com/training/The M Conference.
Now, we're going to end this bit of guidance with something I've been teasing for a while. I apologize. I hate teasing. I was watching morning shows years ago, and I noticed they had about 8 minutes of content every half an hour because the other 14 minutes was all teases about things that were coming up because they were trying to keep you watching the show, obviously. We're going to give you a simple math quiz that will shed some light on your learning journey and help you persevere when you're just starting and you're starting to learn about outward stuff to defeat that Black Widow's angular figure eight shape, okay? Suppose there's a pond with one lily pad on it. Now, lily pads, if you don't know, grow quickly. And so in this pond, the number of lily pads doubles every day. So on day two, there'll be 2 lily pads. On day 3, there will be 4. On day 4, there will be 8, okay? You're told that this lily pond will fill up with lily pads in 30 days. The lily pads will cover the entire pond. And the quiz question is, don't shout it out because I don't want anybody else hearing. That's a joke. How many days, knowing nothing else, will it take to fill the pond halfway? And now I feel like I should make the Jeopardy music or do. Do, 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 do. Okay. And the answer is, the math people got it immediately. The answer is 29 days. It doesn't matter how big it is. Okay. It doesn't. All you need to know is that it fills up in 30 days and it doubles every day. So that means on the 29th day, you're halfway there. On the 30th, it fills up. The lesson here for your learning And this is important to me because it happens to me all the time. And I find myself not wanting to trust the lily pad analogy. Your learning is going to go slow at the beginning. Like Kreslov, you're not going to know what an OEM is, and you're going to have to look it up. Although I think learning is fun, so, oh, and then you remember 10 other times somebody said OEM, and you realize you didn't know what it was then either, right? You're going to learn things without context. That's why we recommend graphs when we're talking about numbers, whether it's money or units shipped or anything else, have a graph, which, by the way, ChatGPT can create for you, okay? You'll learn things without context. You will technically know it. You will be aware of it and can define it, but you probably wouldn't be able to act upon it because you don't fully understand the meaning of the things. Good example, P&Ls, balance sheets, APs, ARs, all that kind of stuff. Some people are Googling right now, what is AP, what is AR? Accounts payable, accounts receivable, there you go. We saved you that trouble. You'll want to know everything, right? You want to cover the waterfront. You want to cover the lily pond, and so you just want to do it. But it only happens a little bit at a time. And you not only want to know everything, then you want to understand everything, which is, again, another order of magnitude. But you can't understand without having contextual connections. So it'll be frustrating. You won't know the stuff. You certainly won't understand stuff. You'll feel like you're searching around in the dark room. But your learning more and more will allow you to make more connections. You'll learn something today with something that finally connects with something you learned 3 weeks ago without even expecting the connection, because now you're swimming in the ocean and not in a pool. And at some point, you will have learned enough that the connections will start to come quickly. If you think back on the lily pond, on day 29, it's half full. That means on day 28, it's only a quarter full. Day after day, what appear to be small increases, and then suddenly, boom, wow. Okay. As you learn, your pond of knowledge will fill up more quickly, and then suddenly it's full. And that's when you start to feel like, oh, I now understand what's happening. And that's when you understand is when you can apply that newfound knowledge. I hate it when people apply knowledge and they don't understand what the knowledge means. They just want to talk about it. Okay. You need to understand it. That's maybe one of the coolest things that's ever happened to me in my professional life. And that is the level of understanding I now have about management and executive life and organizations. And when I think back 25, 30 years ago when I started, I'm astounded at what I didn't know. And now people say things to me and I make analogies like black widows and lily ponds and go, yeah, okay. There's a podcast here that can help tens of thousands of people. Okay. So I got all excited. I got all excited. Woo. Yeah. So we'll figure out where to put it, and we'll put that in things we think so that you can frankly, I was about to say steal, but borrow Kreslov's work. And I'm sure some of you already have your own work. And by the way, we have some more guidance about using AI as an executive that'll be coming out in the next couple of months. So summarizing real quickly, don't fall prey to the Black Widow mistake. Start now. Direct your learning outward and to the future. That's what leadership does. It creates the future for your company. Only knowing what's going on inside is going to get you bitten. You may not die because black widow bites are bad, but it's not fatal. But this phase of your career might. You may have to go somewhere else to pick it up and get it going again.
Right on. That was awesome. I enjoyed that immensely.
A lot of fun. And by the way, folks, Kreslov, we asked Kreslov, he agreed to have his name used and he agreed to share the stuff. And he said it was great honor. And I thought, oh, okay.
It's our honor.
That, but yeah, it's our honor.
Be associated with somebody like that.
Yeah. And it's a privilege to do this for you guys.
All right. Thank you all.
Thanks, everybody.
See y'all later.